Welcome to the second episode of Care Points. Today, we're going to continue our conversations with folks in the industry and my collaborators at Lone Star Communications. And our topic for today is low-code, no-code application development and how that is transforming the way Lone Star, who's typically known as a systems integration company, is beginning to operate in the new world. And our guests today are Brian Banks and Cliff Schweitzer. And I'm going to have them introduce themselves to you, and then we'll have a conversation. You can learn all about what they do at Lone Star. Brian, to you.
Hello, my name is Brian Banks. I've been with Lone Star Communications for 17 years. Started out in customer service, and I've worked my way up into research and development. So I am currently an integration specialist in research and development.
And Cliff Schweitzer, 27 years in the industry. Started with Halco when we had five employees, and we grew into 5% market share to 65% market share. And then we joined Lone Star, and an innovation specialist. So I get to talk to hospitals and figure out what technology they're purchasing and have fun integrating it to our systems.
So you guys have been working on some very, very interesting different things over the last couple of years, and you've had an opportunity to collaborate in a way that maybe didn't in the past. And on the surface, you guys are a bit of an odd couple. So Brian is in the Dallas area. Cliff is in Houston. Brian's an engineer. Cliff works more on the customer-facing side. How did you guys come together? Why don't I start with you, Cliff?
That's an interesting story. We've worked together for years, right? I mean, in the same company, but me and Brian never actually met. So we were invited to join a innovation group. It had no name. They handpicked basically the guys that think outside the box and said, hey, we're going to start this R&D group, and we're going to basically look for things in the industry that could disrupt us. Or look for things that we could use to disrupt the industry. So Justin and Ray and leadership invited us to this meeting. We had no idea what we were going to do. And the first thing we came up with is we need a name. So Justin said, well, what about the DOD? And we're like, what's that? He's like, well, the Division of Disruption. And that's what stuck with us at the beginning. And that's how I met Brian. That's where the story starts. And I'll let Brian kind of continue on that story.
Yes. In those initial meetings, you know, we were asked, you know, what possibly do we think could be a disruption in the industry, or how could we possibly be a disruption in the industry? And one of the first things we landed on was, you know, empowering our own team with inside, we could be the disruption. I like being a disruptor. So I thought, hey, by giving our technicians the knowledge in their hands, we could possibly be a disruption in the industry. So we landed up on an idea of a knowledge-based library. And then we began exploring, well, what ideas could we utilize to actually create that environment? And I had previously, I developed apps and websites, and Cliff actually brought up an environment which he classified at the time was a no-code environment. And that was my introduction into the no-code environment. I traditionally develop apps the old way, utilizing Xcode or Swift. And so I was a little bit concerned, you know, of how long this could take place in developing this. And so I'll let Cliff explain the whole environment.
Yeah. Why low code, no code? And is it really any worse than the conventional stuff? Is it better? You know, what interested you in this, and how are we taking advantage of it?
Yeah, about 2 years ago, I was playing around with a lot of data analytics and a lot of stuff with customer facing situations. And I was like, man, there's got to be a way that you can build modern apps, you know, without Swift, without React, and prototype things so customers can actually you can get feedback faster rather than have to spend the kind of money you have to spend to develop an app. So we tried, I was playing around with Adelo, with Bubble, a little bit of Flutter, and then I kind of landed on a different company. And then I met Bron. Bron was already working in some app development using, I believe, WordPress and some other tools. And it was kind of just a perfect match. At first, Bron was like, there's no way we can build an app like this in no code. And then once I showed him what could be done, I think it took us a week, and we had a prototype built for the next DoD meeting. And then Justin and them were like, what did y'all just make? You know, the first prototype, he was like, this is incredible. And then it kind of went from there, a lot of nights and weekends, working on Techstar and just throwing ideas in there. And it just slowly grew over time.
So the internal knowledge base for the technicians is Techstar. So that's actually started to have a real life. So, you know, once you got past your proof of concept, you found out that there was a pretty significant demand for it.
Yes, we kind of took things from that and said, well, this needs to be forward facing to the technician. You know, they need the entire parts catalog. They need, you know, installation manuals, wiring diagrams, all that stuff. It's almost like Customer Connect inside an app rather than logging into a website. You know, you've got a technician on a ladder, you know, they're not going to stop what they're doing to get off the ladder, go log into a laptop. Hopefully their password's right. You know, you're trying to onboard new technicians and you got to put, you know, ask Rollin to get them in. You know, it's a lot easier when you control your own app. Then after that, all these other ideas start popping up. You know, let's share contact lists or let's share site information. Let's, you know, especially when onboarding new techs, now everything's in one place. You know, they're all using their personal cell phone, so it doesn't make any sense for them to all, you know, grab a phone directory and start entering everyone's phone number in when everything's could be in one app. So it was just a lot of little ideas that just started, you know, snowballing and growing.
So what's interesting is Brian is more specifically part of conventional IT, where you're not. But you're in a unique position because you have a very significant customer-facing relationship. So the two of you together represent important, bigger parts of a larger machine, if you will. Brian, one of the knocks on low-code, no-code is that there's dangers of having citizen developers. So we'll put Cliff in the citizen developer category. Are we at a point where we are kind of where that doesn't really matter anymore, where this is actually kind of a bona fide IT project, right? Even though you're not using C#.
Right. No, moving forward, I really think it's something that a lot of people from a company and from an individual may find benefit in this. And what I mean by that is being able to, one, identify what your need, what are you really trying to create? What problem are you really trying to solve? And when you can create something, you know, if you look at the numbers of how much time people spend on their cell phones, and you can actually literally meet a need by providing them some interaction and information in the form of a mobile app, and you do not have to have conventional coding backgrounds in Python or any of the native languages that was originally for mobile app development. And it doesn't require an entire team of developers, you know, from a user interface guy, from an integrations guy, Cliff and I, but like you mentioned, are from two different worlds, you know, in regards to development and sales. But this low-code environment actually was a great meeting ground for us to actually bring two talents and in the form of actually addressing a need rather quickly. And that's what I was mostly impressed about, is how well and how quickly we could create something that actually met a need. We knew, both of us having technician backgrounds, We knew almost upfront what some of the needs were. And so when we started developing this, we designed it specific to those needs. And we gave the technicians the ability to interact by saying, you know, what more could we provide within this? So it became a technician's app. You know, Cliff and I started something, but in truth, it was really the technicians in the field that developed it because they provided ideas that we could actually quickly create. You know, Cliff has a full-time job at Lone Star and so do I, but we were still able to create something rather quickly. And I think that that's the attraction to a lot of this, you know, in this era of where, like you mentioned, citizen developers, you know, you may find people that may create personal apps that they only develop for themselves. You may find that companies who don't have the resources utilizing this because they have creative people on their teams that don't have the formal background in coding. So I think it's an interesting time right now.
And what ends up happening, like you described with the technicians, is that people see what can be done and it stimulates their own creativity in terms of what's possible. So I saw what you guys were doing and I was in the midst of doing some prototype work for a mobile application for our Alero platform. And I recognized that there was a match here, that we needed to do to reuse some of your process to get something enough out there so that we could get feedback from other folks on the sales and marketing team, from customers, from other partners, and giving something to somebody that is actually tangible, that looks and feels like the real thing, is an incredible thing.
If you like, your question was citizen developer. So it's like they are the consumer. So who better to build for than the person that's consuming the actual app? So if you flip that, the same thing applies in the clinical arena. Who better to build for than directly for the clinician? They're telling you what they want and you're getting direct feedback. So it's you're building to a need rather than building to what you think a need is. So it's you're closer to the problem.
And what's interesting for us, integrators are problem solvers and companies like Lone Star are in the problem solving business. But we tend to not look at our work as product per se, that one customer's problem may be different than the others. But the interesting thing about our position as listeners, we're so much closer on the ground to the customers than, say, a major manufacturer might be. So our ability to listen and then to make that actionable by putting things in front of people that we can get their direct feedback on and not have to wait 18 months to see that in, you know, from a product pipeline perspective. You know, how much have you seen that in generalizing the industry? You know that a customer needs X, Y, or Z. You're reliant on somebody else to provide that, and you have to wait, and it's out of your control. But in this case, this is completely under our control. So all great answers. What's next for you guys?
Well, I will tell you, one of the things that's exciting to me is ChatGPT and AI. You know, with the integration, you know, again, even in this low-code, no-code environment, these environments are developing rapidly. I mean, rapidly. And the tools and the integrations that they're actually providing, AI being one of them, is super exciting because, again, Techstar was designed to give the technician the ability to look at a PDF rather quickly or a drawing rather quickly or information rather quickly. Now with the integration of AI, it's not simply trying to read a PDF on your mobile phone. You can just simply ask your phone, you know, specific questions and it will return an answer rather quickly. And again, when you're standing in front of an engineer or a contractor at a site, it just gives that customer relationship a whole totally different, another look, you know, and a confidence level that we can actually, if we don't have the answer, we can go get the answer for you rather quickly. So I'm super excited about the whole AI involvement and being able to actually have an interaction with ChatGPT in that conversational piece of actually being able to ask it questions and it provides an answer without having to go and search for that information within a PDF.
Yes. And trained only on that specific topic. So if you ask it a question outside that trained library, it will tell you that it doesn't know that answer and that it's not trained on that data. So it's if you ask it where to get the best hamburger, it's not going to answer your question. It's only trained on the data set that Brian and I trained the AI on, which makes it even cooler. That just unlocks a lot of really creative doors.
So hats off to the leadership at Lone Star for kind of setting you guys loose. Hats off to you guys for recognizing the opportunity to take what you guys know so well, which are the customers and even niche customers like technicians, and to provide some tools. Let's finish up. You, Brian, anything to add before we close?
Hats off to you, Kenny, for reaching out to us and seeing the possibilities that we could create something rather quickly and it be a close, you know, as close as we could get it to what you had envisioned. You know, a lot of times, you know, people will not even venture out to even try that. But again, you know, being a part of leadership, we really appreciate you giving us the opportunity to actually display what could actually be created. And I think more and more people will see that.
And as we've kind of talked through this, and we've talked before about this, the dividing lines between what's real programming and what's citizen programming, maybe they really don't matter.
Right.
You know, you look at ChatGPT in the last 3 months and where it started and where it is now. You can look at OpenAI DALL-E. You can look at Midjourney. You can look at Stable Diffusion. Those are all image modeling AIs. And you know, you can pretty much type in, you know, draw me a frog on a bike. And when they first came out, it was very rudimentary. But the stuff that it's kicking out now in the last 2 months is absolutely amazing. And you know, there's companies out there that you can literally text and create an entire website for you. So, you know, the question kind of goes, okay, there's a lot of people that made websites too, but now you can go on, Squarespace or Wix, and there's all these AI tools that will literally build whatever it is that you want. The trick is the creativity and figuring out how to create a brand around it and the marketing. It's the tools are there. You just have to be a lifelong learner. And that's kind of what me and Brian are. We, you know, after 4 o'clock, we're learning. We're looking up new tech. We're trying to figure out how to plug things in. And that's what we do. Weekends, nights.
Right. The lifelong learning thing is culturally, to work for a company that is encouraging you to do that. So if you think of this sort of DOD, the Department of Disruption, well, in many respects, it's really not disruption, right? Because it's disruption may have a negative connotation. I think it's almost like the Department of Challenge, right? So, you know, whereby there aren't barriers and we don't have to think about things the old way. And thematically, for our conversation today, you know, I want the world to know, you know, Lone Star is not just a systems integration company who puts stuff into that's behind the scenes, that we're a company that interacts directly with our customers and that we're being very forward about using the tools that are available to us to just do so much more. So Thank you both very, very much for joining me today. And we look forward to having other conversations and, you know, maybe sometime later in the year, we can come back and look at some of the newer things that you guys are working on.
Love to.
And to the audience, we encourage you to hit the like button and subscribe to the Lone Star Communications YouTube channel. And we look forward to future podcasts with some interesting guests. Thanks for having us. Have a great day.